you think life is simpler after you retire? For some, it's actually more complicated when facing issues about health, estate plans, probate, long-term care, and more. That's why attorney CPA Joe Cordell hosts Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors and an open forum for older adults with important questions about their future. Here's attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Welcome to Elder Talk. Guess what? The month of May is Older Americans Month. And appropriately, we have someone here whose job is to attend to the needs of older Americans in our area. Susan Arthur, would you introduce our guest?
I would love to. Our guest today has a great first name. Her name is Susan Schaffers, and she has spent her career working in social services with programs and services for the elderly and disabled. She started out with the state of Missouri working in a variety of programs before concentrating on the elderly population. Now, currently, she has been with the St. Louis County Older Residents Program for 24 years, and as the manager of this program, she is actively involved in supporting older adults. Welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Susan Schaffer, let me begin by asking a question about what is the proper terminology. You say May is Older Americans Month. What is the phrase we're supposed to use when we refer to older Americans? Can we say elders? Is that still appropriate?
You can still say elders. You can refer to them as seniors. You can call them older adults.
Is there a preferred? Do you see a trend here?
Not really. Okay. It just depends on who's saying it.
Okay. Well, we might have to change our name to Older.
Older Americans Talk.
Older American Talk or Senior Talk.
Yeah, that would work.
There you go, Senior Talk.
Okay, so give us a little bit of the history of the program that you have led now for some 24 years or so.
Well, I haven't led it the whole time, but I could have worked my way up. The County Older Resident Programs was actually started in 1975 by a grant through the Department of Labor, and it was an employment program for older adults.
So in 75.
Yeah. So at that time, they hired older adults to create the County Older Resident Programs is basically what happened, and they did it by giving them jobs. So they started a very grassroots effort and went out and found people and found locations for offices and just built the program up. And throughout the years, it's changed, it's adapted, it's but basically it stayed pretty true to what the original goal was, and that was to get services to people 60 and older in St. Louis County.
But the employment focus is no longer there.
No, the employment focus is not there. While a lot of our employees are older adults themselves, including me, that's not an emphasis that we have at this point.
So now you focus on services. Tell us what some of the services are that are available.
Well, our most requested service is transportation. And we get people to doctor's appointments, the bank, the post office. We try to get them to get their hair cut or to the beauty shop. And we use volunteers for all of those services.
So what are the eligibility requirements for someone to be able to pick up the phone and call for transportation services?
They need to be 60 or older and live in St. Louis County and live independently in their own home, which means they cannot live in a congregate living facility for older adults.
So there's no need-based requirement? In other words,
income
is irrelevant?
Not at this point. There is not. Income is irrelevant. Everyone needs transportation regardless of what their age is or what their income level is.
Okay. And when you said congregate living, what you're referring to is someone who's living in, for example, assisted living facility?
Assisted living or even just a retirement community that's independent living. But in 2007, we needed to make some decisions, and a lot of it was at the request of our volunteers, but we had to look at targeting services to some degree, and that's when we chose to focus on the people that have no supportive services at all. And if you live in a congregate living facility of any kind, there is some minimal level of support. There's a lot of support, just depending on what facility you're in, but that was a decision we made then.
To what extent are the resources, though, for transportation overtaxed? And I'll put it to you this way. If a person picks up a phone and calls and says, I'd like somebody to come pick me up, How long might they wait?
Okay. Well, the way our program works, it depends on the transportation services. In our program, they need to call usually 3 to 5 working days ahead of time, because we have to, the coordinator who arranges the service needs the time to contact volunteers and get it all set up. So our volunteers actually do, we call it door through door and arm through arm transportation, because they actually pick them up at their home, wait with them when they're at the doctor, and then return them to their home. So there's not really a wait on the day of the service.
As long as they plan ahead.
They need to plan ahead. We're not an emergency service. We don't have great success with that, because our volunteers are wonderful, but they're also very busy people. So they're not necessarily sitting and waiting for someone to call and say, oh, someone needs a ride. So that's why we need a little lead time.
And the county's pretty big. So would you pick up in North County for a doctor's appointment in South County?
We will. Ideally, they would be closer. But yes, considering the major medical facilities are scattered kind of throughout St. Louis County and even in St. Louis City, we will take people where they need to go in the city, in St. Louis City, our county.
And this is all done by volunteers?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a shortage of volunteers?
Always.
So if somebody would like to volunteer, I'm sure
someone would like to volunteer.
You.
Please.
Well, given that you give 3 to 5 days notice, that's pretty impressive, though. You'd have someone available. You're virtually assured of someone being available to take you to a doctor's appointment, wait there with you, and take you back.
That's correct.
I don't think a lot of seniors know this is available.
Oh, they don't.
I agree. That's why we're having you on the program today. I feel like as I was looking through the website, I thought, I never knew this was here. I've been a county resident my entire life. Now, I'm not 60 yet, but I didn't know that was there. I didn't know transportation. There have been times I've talked to people and never have I said, call the county. It just never entered my mind.
I do presentations in the community, and as do my staff. But when I do presentations, there's almost never a time when someone doesn't come up and say, I didn't even know you existed. And we've only been around since 1975, so
yeah.
We don't do such a great job, apparently, with promotion.
Well, yeah, but at least you don't spend valuable resources on just advertising.
No, we spend no resources on advertising.
So that's transportation services.
Right.
What is home visits? I've seen that listed as a benefit.
Okay, that is a program that's designed to alleviate some isolation that a lot of older adults struggle with. We have people who will either call them on the phone and chat with them, or they will go and do a visit in their home and visit with them for a while and they sometimes discuss world events, or they talk about their kids, or they talk about anything they
just
want to do.
Human contact. Mm-hmm.
Human contact is the purpose of that program.
I actually just read a study that loneliness is reaching epidemic proportions. It was put out by the Surgeon General recently.
Right.
It's just a huge problem, and especially for older adults.
It is huge. And a lot of times you don't realize that there are so many older adults who are isolated because you don't see them. They don't have contact with other people. They don't go to the senior groups where they get to find out about information or have contact with other people. And it's a very lonely existence if you don't have contact with another human, sometimes for days at a time. You may see people out your window, but there's no contact.
Yeah. And there are a lot of forces, though, at work kind of pushing in that direction of isolation. I was reading about this recently where we're not really conscious of the extent to which people who now are in their upper years, especially say their 70s plus, are people who knew a world that was dramatically different from the world that exists today, and they feel detached.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's the TV shows they don't connect with, they don't connect with the conversations, which often relate to technologies and other things. I mean, they, for a variety of reasons, they just feel alienated from this world that at one time was their world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it no longer is.
And that's, we've really seen that with the county older resident programs. When I first started, our typical customer was in her early 60s, was female, and their spouse had recently passed away. The wife had never driven, so when the spouse dies, she has no way to go anywhere. So those were our customers then. That is not what our customer looks like now. Our average age for our customer throughout St. Louis County is 80 for our transportation services, and it actually goes up to 81.6 in one of the area, one of our service areas. But it's also they used to drive, but now they don't for a variety of reasons. A lot of times it's health, it's vision, it's just they don't feel comfortable behind the wheel of a car, and a lot of times it's financial.
And it's good that you're there, because some of them, if you weren't there, may in fact be driving, right, out of necessity.
We'd like to think that, yes.
I don't know which is the lesser evil.
Exactly.
So these people that want to make this contact or that end up visiting periodically, how do they get on that list?
Again, the people who do the visiting or the calling are volunteers.
Yeah.
And the people who want it, you know, they find out about us through a variety of ways. A lot of times someone else tells them about
it. Yeah, that's why I was wondering. Is it a family member that, because this person who's isolated, they can't be counted on
to
be someone who's going to reach out.
Right. No, because they don't know the resources exist. So that's one of the things that we struggle with, because there are more people out there that need our services than know about us, because they're isolated in their homes. So that's we do get calls from older adults, children.
Yeah,
I just spoke to a man yesterday. He's living in Texas, and his mother lives in St. Louis County, and he's trying to find resources for her, and that's a real challenge for him. And we're certainly not the only program that does that. The Area Agency on Aging is also very helpful with things like that.
That's a great resource. And for people who are listening, and if you have parents, perhaps.
Exactly.
Living in another area, even. I'm thinking of corresponding programs in other areas across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Many people will have relatives perhaps in Florida or other places, but they're concerned about who's checking in on them or whatnot.
Right.
So how frequently might these visits take place?
It's pretty much dependent on the customer's request. Some of them, the phone calls can actually be daily. Sometimes they want someone to know that they got up that morning. And so it's like a little call and check. Other times they just want someone to check in once a week or so. And that's what we will accommodate.
And that visit might be 30 minutes, might be an hour.
Probably not more than an hour. I mean, it can be. We don't have limits on it, but things like that.
Is there a shortage of people to do these visits or right now, or would you say
always?
Well, when you say always, though, does that mean that there's a significant chance that someone would call and ask for this and nobody'd be available?
Not right now. There really isn't. If we have a harder time getting people to accept the service, a lot of times we'll get a call from a daughter or son out of state, and they say, Mom's really lonely. We need, you know, somebody needs to go visit her. Can you do that? Well, we can as long as she is receptive to it. We cannot force ourselves on someone.
Right.
So a lot of times people are skeptical, I think. They're scared. Do I really want to let the stranger in my house?
Right.
And so we try to assure them that these are people we know. We've done background checks on them. And sometimes it takes a little relationship building before they'll accept the service.
So. And I assume they have the same person all the time?
They
or
do.
No?
Okay. They do. And they try to make a good match with the personalities and sort of likes and interests and things like that. So that's
so the
nice.
People then who volunteer for these, you mentioned you do a background check. Is there some process they go through to sort of prepare them for this or to give them pointers?
What we do with all of our volunteers is when they reach out to us and want to volunteer, we have a background check done on them. We also do a personal interview with the person, and we do a motor vehicle records check if they're going to be driving, and then they go through a training program. And in the training, it discusses either the transportation or the home visits or whatever specific service they're going to do, in addition to an overall training that they receive about all of our programs.
Do you reimburse for gas with transportation?
We do, actually. We reimburse their mileage. So that's that helps offset some of the expense that it, I mean, it's costly to drive someone to the doctor. So we like to take that financial burden off of them, and then we do reimburse that.
So. Okay. So name some other services that you emphasize.
We just finished a tax program where we have volunteers who prepare federal and state taxes, as well as a Missouri property tax credit claim or circuit breaker for people. And we don't have the final numbers yet, but I'm thinking the last 2 years we've actually gotten over $1 million returned to older residents in St. Louis County through our tax program.
Really? Now, is that need-based?
It is need-based. It's based upon the IRS guidelines for federal and state. And it's for the circuit breaker, it's based upon the state guidelines because that's a state program. And we just facilitate the filing of the forms. So,
but in other words, the people who do the tax preparation, they're volunteers.
Yes.
And the people who are qualified to receive those services are people whose income is below a certain point.
Right. And that's the IRS that puts that guideline on there. It's actually quite generous, though. It is $54,000 a year. So
okay, that's what I was curious about. Right. So somewhere in the ballpark, $54,000. We'll
right.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty
it is.
Generous.
It's really very generous.
Picks up a lot of
that
people.
Picks up a lot of seniors who are retired for sure. I would think.
Oh, definitely, it does. And while I can't give you exact data on it, most of the people who receive the service are considerably below that.
Yeah.
Income. So they all file simple tax forms, meaning not a lot of schedules are attached to them. So
would they do that, though? I mean,
no, they don't. They'll refer them.
It's got to be the short form.
Yes. Well, it can be the long form without they'll do. I believe I'm really going to get into thin ice here, but I believe it's just Schedule B that they will do. A and B, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be.
Right.
So that's interesting. And then you also have a program for home care and repair.
We do. That program is a referral service. At this time, we don't have any money to help people pay for these home repairs. We're always searching for funding, but we have not been successful finding it anytime recently. But what people can do is if they need their sink fixed or their washer fixed or their front porch repaired, they can call one of our coordinators and they will give them the list, the names of three people who can do that service for them. And those people have all had police background checks done on them as well as personal interviews. And the coordinator meets with them at least once a year to just check on what's going on with them. We also send everyone who requests these referrals a survey that says, who did you use? Would you use them again? Were you happy with them? It's very simple, but we do pay attention to them.
So you get pretty good feedback, though, on the
we
evaluations?
We do, actually. We get pretty good response, and generally, they're all very positive. But if they are not, then we do follow up and say to the worker, what went wrong here? You know, what happened? And then the coordinators will try to mediate if there's a real grievance between the people.
I think that addresses one of the most challenging things for senior adults is many of the ones that I know are single women. They're not as
exactly.
adept at repairing the sink, the toilet, the wallpaper, or the wallpaper. Nobody uses wallpaper anymore. But
Give it time.
Yeah. Whatever other home repair they need, fixing a screen or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to let someone in your home who's maybe makes you feel uncomfortable.
Right.
You don't want to pay for something that isn't going to be done well. And
right.
I think you've taken a lot of the guesswork out
We've
of that.
We try very hard to make it a comfortable situation for that older person who might be feeling very vulnerable to let some stranger into their home to do something. And you're right, a lot of people don't have the knowledge to know even what needs to be done.
Right.
So that's one of the coordinator's challenges is they get the explanation of what the problem is and then try to determine what type worker might be most appropriate for that. So because a lot of times it's not as easy as well, you know, I have a leaky faucet or something like that. So
how extensive, though, is your referral base? What if, for example, someone calls from West County mm-hmm. or South County mm-hmm. or North County? You have people in each of those areas regarding a broad variety of things?
They're not specifically in those areas. The workers themselves will tell us what areas they want to go to. Mm-hmm. A lot of them will go anywhere in the county. Some of them are specific and say, I only want to work in North County. I only want to work in South County. So we have it's a pretty extensive list. Repairs that are a little bit more specific or maybe a little bit more, require more skill. Sometimes there's not as many people who mm-hmm. are on our list that will do it. But we do have licensed repair people, like a licensed electrician, licensed plumbers. And if people need those kind of repairs, we do direct them towards the licensed
repair. Now, what if someone wants to see the evaluations or reviews or have a better sense for, like, the number of stars? I mean, it's normally not a thumbs. It's not like the old movie with Rogers and Ebert.
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert.
Siskel and Ebert. Thumbs up or thumbs down.
That's kind of what we do, more that than stars.
So there's not, then, access to the content of the evaluation.
There isn't. We don't necessarily have that in usable form. We keep the surveys, but we don't tabulate them. The coordinators just pay attention to them. And part of that is because we've been very fortunate, and most of them come back, yes, it was great. I would definitely use him again, you know. And so mm-hmm. they do. We have many people who call us over and over again for various repair jobs.
So you would have
a
roofer, you'd have a plumber,
we
you'd
do.
Have an electrician,
right.
painter, you
painter.
Have all those.
We do. Carpenters. We have general repair, like handyman type
yeah.
people that sometimes that's all you need. And that's what we do. So
Interesting. So that's under home care and repair. So when I first saw that, I thought, gee, you provide that.
I will.
But I can see where the referral service, it means a lot.
It seems to mean a lot to people. It's also a very popular service. We get a lot of calls requesting it. So
tell me about a program that I see listed called Age Smart, Age Well.
Okay, that's a program that we have. And basically, we have a person who will go out to different community venues and give information on various topics. One of them is brain fitness. And it's a program on how to keep your brain active and exercises that you can do. There's also one on scams and swindles that sort of gives people some tips on how to avoid being scammed. And that's a real challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. And I think as we get older, it becomes more and more of a challenge. And it becomes a huge challenge when you're sitting at home all day and only watching TV.
Or maybe even worse on the internet.
There might be worse. It could be worse there. But it's a problem. And so that person will go out and just do some community presentations on different topics.
Mm-hmm. So these people that do these presentations, where might they be held and how often?
They're generally held at community centers. We've done some at the Aging Ahead Senior Centers. And they are scheduled at the convenience of whoever's requesting the program.
So City of Chesterfield wanted to have
quite a few with the City of Chesterfield.
I see things come through the mail that say there's different seminars coming
up. Yes, Chesterfield has a very good menu, I think, of activities for older adults in their community specifically. So, and we've been a part of that, not the program, but we've presented in some of their programs
and they have. And you talk about technology, mm-hmm. how to use technology.
That's one of the big ones. We have one that's called Seniors Meet Surrey, which I keep thinking I'm going to take one of these days. But it shows people how to use their phones, preferably iPhones, because it does address Surrey, but they have it's a challenge. You know, you get a new phone and no one knows how to use it if you're over the age of like 12. And so we also have done Tech for Travel, which is another fun one where people want to know how to go on trips. How do I you know, book plane reservations? How do I find hotel reservations?
Do you put on any trips? Do you sponsor any trips?
No, we don't do that. We leave that to, there's a number of communities in St. Louis County who provide great trips for folks, and they go all kinds of fun places. So we leave that to them.
So what have you seen increase in terms of area of need in the last 20 years?
I think one of the biggest areas of need is probably help getting their homes repaired, financial assistance, because that can be very costly for people.
Well, and also I think there, kind of a piece of that discussion is, should they be staying there at all? And in other words, many people struggle with, you know, am I at that point where I need to transition into some sort of community, or can I stay here? And of course, there's always a certain amount of gravity for staying here. I mean, yeah, people are familiar with it. They know the neighborhood.
The gravity's very strong.
Yeah, yeah. And so I understand the argument, but unless they have some way to assure that things such as repairs of the home are done properly, then often it's not practical. And then, now the home visits are helpful, but at some point it'll require more than that for most people as they age.
It does.
And then do you normally ever even not officially get involved, where maybe you have someone that's been visiting someone in the weekly care or monthly visits, and all of a sudden they're seeing some changes and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. Where, and that's one of the things that we stress to all of our volunteers, because they have the most frequent contact with these people one-on-one. And so they're going to notice changes that occur way more than the coordinator, who talks to the person on the phone when they're requesting a service. But that's about the end of that. So we reinforce with our volunteers all the time. They are our eyes. And sometimes you can really tell a major difference in someone. And so then we have a caseworker who can go out and maybe help with some transitions that might need to be made.
Give me the profile of somebody who would volunteer for this position of home visits.
Oh.
I mean, describe the type of people that volunteer.
Oh, gosh. Our volunteers are of every description you can imagine. Most of them are older themselves.
Most of them are over 60, would you say?
Yes, yes. And a lot of times they're retired, so they have more time on their hands, although we have had some... You know, we have had success with younger people. Their time just isn't usually as available as it is when you might get retired. And they come from all over St. Louis County. We probably have more women than men, but we have a fair number of men who volunteer also, which is really nice, because some of our customers need a little bit more assistance, and they might need the hand on the elbow or something like that. But a lot of times women are of smaller stature, so they have a harder time, or they feel less secure taking someone that might need a little more assistance. So the men come in and really do a great service with that. And so that's, I don't know how to even describe our typical volunteer, because they're everywhere. We have right now, we have two students from Vianney High School who are doing yard work and cleaning out basements, and I don't know what all they're doing, but they will be doing that for 2 weeks.
We need to clone them.
Yeah, service hours
we actually,
maybe or something?
Well, it's required, so it's not totally volunteer on their part.
But it's voluntary, except for the requirement.
Right, except for a requirement, and they're getting graded. But they, I mean, they did volunteer through their school to do their service hours with us. So that's really, if we could get more of those throughout the county, that would be great.
Yeah.
But they come and do some really good things. And I think a lot of times they don't think so, because they rake yards and they cut back bushes and do things like that. But that's huge for somebody, just to know that their yard is cleaned up. We had I love this story. It's sort of sad, but we had a group from a company who wanted to do yard work in an area of the county. And so we had them go out and do yard work for one of our customers. And her yard looked really pretty when it was finished. And she died that weekend.
Oh, wow.
But her daughter called and said, "You'll never know how much that meant to my mother to have her yard cleaned up." Huh. And those are things we don't always think about. We all like our yards cleaned up, but is it really the biggest thing in our life? For her, it was, because she was home all the time and she saw it all the time.
Well, and if you list the most urgent needs of people who are not living in a community, you know, assuring that their dwelling is functional.
Exactly.
That's almost at the top of the list.
And it is.
I can see where it's as much an issue to find the right person as it is to pay for it. And I can say that's true for anybody, really. But especially if you're vulnerable and you're older and you're not at the best, perhaps, that you were.
Right.
But to find the right people who can come in your home, you can trust them to do work. That's the reason I think that the thing about the home care and repair is huge. Now, if just add that you provide the people and they're all free.
Okay, well, we're working on that.
You're working on that.
Funders, let me know.
One of the things you've mentioned to me when we were talking a little bit off air was a new program that you have. And you want to explain that a little bit? It's Functional Needs Registry or something like that?
It's called the Access and Functional Needs Registry. And what it does is it allows people to voluntarily register needs that they may have in case of an emergency. It allows the first responders to plan for
certain specific things.
Certain specific things that might be necessary, especially in an evacuation. And it's completely secure information. St. Louis County was successful at getting legislation passed several years ago that exempts the functional needs registries throughout the state from the Sunshine Law. So
give us an example of the sort of things that these emergency workers would know about in advance.
They want to know if you have a pet, because something will need to be done with that pet. They want to know if you're on medication that needs refrigeration, because that's important, and they would need to accommodate that. Are you on oxygen? If they have a large number of folks in an area on oxygen and there's an evacuation, they know they need to have somebody that's going to deliver oxygen tanks to a specific area. So those are the things that they're looking for.
Like drug allergies, if they don't have the bracelets?
I don't think it does ask if there's allergies. It's the application form asks a number of things. Another question that it asks is, do you weigh over 300 pounds? Because if you need to be evacuated, then they need to bring different equipment in that situation. So we don't really want to know how much you weigh, but
it's relevant.
It's very relevant. And so everything on the application is very relevant. It was looked at by the emergency operations people in St. Louis County, who, I don't know if everybody knows this, but this always just impresses me and people look at me like I'm a little bit strange. But we have people in St. Louis County working every day planning for emergencies that might happen. And
you mean emergencies that would affect the citywide, for example?
Right. And they, they will try to minimize the impact of whatever that is. So that always makes me feel kind of good.
Yeah.
And they, they know that there are people out there that will need special attention, and they don't know where they are. So that's what this registry is. We sort of keep the information. They're going to use the information. And it was actually, the registry was activated, I believe it was about a year ago when we had some fairly localized flooding, but they were able to activate it and it showed them what they needed it to show. So
flooding, if some sort of a terrorist activity,
tornadoes,
kind of things. We do tell people that, right, hopefully not, but that they hope that they need to be prepared to stay in their home for 3 days. That doesn't mean someone's going to come to your door immediately. 30 minutes after your power goes off, no one's going to be there, but they're going to know where you are, and they're going to know that those streets need to be cleared with down trees quickly, or things like that. So it's not as simple as it would be nice if I could say, oh, yes, get on a registry, and someone will put your lights on in an hour. That's not going to happen, but it's more things that have a greater impact is what they're going to be able to help with. So I think it's really something that people need to know about. And again, just like our program, no one knows about it. So I've really been working at trying to get the word out that people can do it. And like I said, it is secure information. You can register through a web portal online. You can register with a piece of paper that we can send you. You can call on the phone and someone will take your information over the phone. So we try to make it easy.
Yeah, and I think the time will come when maybe there will be a single database that will have all the health information that will be available to, if you're in Paris and something happens, and with your permission, somebody can access that information. I think it'll exceed national borders. Mm-hmm. But what's scary is, on the one hand, of course, you can imagine how helpful it would be, right? I mean, this is one example, to include the information we talked about here as well as additional information.
Right.
But the scary part is, you know, what if you have that precious vault and then others get access to it?
So, right.
But I can see where a registry with the sort of information you've described is more limited, and it would those things that are directly relevant to somebody coming to your rescue at your home in St. Louis. Right. Is something that makes sense to give up that information.
Right.
And to get
and the city
up.
Of St. Louis also has a registry, and the emergency operations people would definitely work with each other because an emergency might not end at the city county line. Right. So
what are some of the things that older Americans will contact you and want services for and that you can't help them with? What is the most pressing need that you don't offer that you hear from older Americans?
I would say we get requests for people who need home delivered meals, and we don't do
that
at all.
Nice. Yeah,
and they're the Ministry Agency on Aging, which is now called Aging Ahead, is the agency that we refer to for that, because they do provide home-delivered meals.
And the name of it is, again?
Aging Ahead.
Aging Ahead.
Yes.
Now, is that national or just local?
It is local, but area agencies on aging are located throughout the United States.
And they will deliver meals?
They do.
Really?
They do.
And is there I wonder if, again, there's probably a need-based requirement,
I
suspect.
I believe there is.
That would make sense. It makes sense that they would sort of prioritize.
Yeah. Now, well, people who are on Medicaid, I know, definitely get the meals for free, and they don't even ask for a donation. So they definitely serve folks that are
And they
are
deliver these in. Meals.
They do.
And you just call and you get on the list? And
you do. Well, someone comes out and does an assessment.
I see,
and
yeah.
Then they will. They'll just deliver meals to you. And they either do it with volunteers or they have a delivery service that delivers, like they'll deliver like 5 meals on Monday.
I was going to say, it's and like once a week, right?
It is. A lot of areas are once a week. Some are doing hot meals, so they do it every day. But it just depends on the area.
Then I wonder if there's a service that's not need-based where people can pay even and have those meals regularly delivered. Is there an organization that focuses on serving older?
I don't know about a specific organization for older adults. There is, there are getting to be more and more home delivery food services.
Restaurants and others do that
right.
now.
Yeah.
Grocery stores.
Yeah.
Grocery right.
stores will deliver
they will now.
Their food.
Right.
It's now a time when if you want to have your groceries delivered, it's foreseeable. And Amazon now is charging ahead since the acquisition of Whole Foods. I think they're going to be on the front end of.
Well, and I know I was talking to someone just this weekend who they use the Walmart delivery. They don't deliver to your home, but you have a Walmart pickup, so you order it online, you pull in, they bring it to your car, and you're off on your way.
Yeah.
And I thought, if you can get there,
some real,
then maybe
right,
you could
exactly.
you know, get your grocery shopping done without ever
right.
having to leave your car.
And I think Deerbrugs and Schnucks is starting to jump on that, too.
Yeah, I think
they
so.
Are.
They
yeah.
can't ignore that
right.
competition.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's easier now for an older person in some ways to live at home.
It is.
It doesn't, but in some ways it exacerbates the isolation problem because if someone, you know, has sort of retreated to this cocoon, now they have a way of you know, of staying there and still continuing to meet their needs.
Well, and there's actually a great, it's a movie and I don't know the name of it, but it's was done in Canada, and they had students go in to a older adult living facility and teach them how to use the internet. And it was seriously life-changing for these folks. And they got them to do YouTube videos, and they were on Facebook, and so they could chat with their, you know, great-grandchildren that they had never seen because they lived very far away. So if the more older adults will use technology, I think it can help with some of the isolation that they feel from their families, because families are scattered everywhere now.
And that kind of brings us full circle. I mean, we started off the program talking about this being Older Americans Month, and that their theme was engaging at every age. So what are some ways that people can engage at every age? I mean, what are some really practical things that seniors can do to keep busy, keep mentally focused?
And you just identified one I don't want the listeners to overlook. Maybe you won't mention it again.
Volunteering.
Volunteering
is one. Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the technology piece.
Technology,
I really
right.
wanted to just reemphasize that. And I know it's a problem of solving how people can actually use the technology and not become frustrated with it. Because it's so easy to be in a program and it go wrong. And I see this with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just have to give it to somebody to fix. And really fixing means just pressing the right the right icon.
Right.
But anyway, so one thing, one means of engagement would be what you mentioned moments ago is technology. And I think it has incredible potential for connecting people visually, like FaceTime. But go ahead with others you would point
to. Well, I mean, volunteering. And that can be for whatever program that you want, you're interested in.
It's healthy to volunteer.
Find your passion and do it. If you like, if you want to drive people to the doctor, call me. If you want to work with animals, do that. If you want to volunteer, you know, at your church, do that. It doesn't matter what you do, just do it.
And it puts you in contact with people, generally.
Absolutely. It puts you in contact with people. It gives you fulfillment of that you did something good and you were doing it and you enjoyed it. And people need to enjoy what they're doing. It can't all be just the mundane daily routine.
Food and shelter. If you just give people food and shelter, it's not enough.
It's not enough. It's not enough. And it's not enough at whatever socioeconomic level you're at. It doesn't really matter. It's if you have no resources, you still need those basic human contact. You need fulfillment. You need brain activity. You need all of that. And I think that's really very important. And actually, St. Louis County, I think a lot of people don't know this either, but they embarked on being an age-friendly community 5 years ago. And the first 2 years were spent on assessment and planning. And then this is the third year of implementation, and that's one of the things that they have, one of the areas of focus was social and civic engagement. And so they worked at doing some actions that will help people do that easier. So,
wow, what wonderful and useful information. Susan Schaefer, you've been a wealth of information. I think that the services that St. Louis County Older Resident Program provides are huge. I can see where there's potential and plans to do things that will be even more helpful.
Definitely.
But I know that it's a wonderful resource. I encourage those among our listeners who can use some of these. This referral program is huge that you mentioned relating to home upkeep and repair.
Mm-hmm.
The home visits. I think that many people would thoroughly enjoy having people come and visit once a week and chat, and people who enjoy doing it. These are volunteers who, not for them, it's not drudgery. It's something they enjoy. So how do people contact St. Louis County Older Resident Program, Susan?
The easiest way is to call on the phone. We do have someone that answers the phone 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Do you have a number off the top of your
314-615-4516.
Say that one more time.
314-615-4516.
Wonderful information, Susan Schaefer. Back in a moment.
You're listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors, presented by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. And now, attorney CPA, Joe Cordell.
Okay, Susan Arthur, let's take the last couple minutes and talk about something that I guess many people do not know. In addition to this being Older Americans Month, this is also National Elder Law Month. Yes, that is a fact.
It is a thing.
We didn't just make this up. Now, we think that's fitting since Cordell Planning Partners, of course, focuses on elder law. And as I have conversations like we've just had with Susan Schaefer, where we talk about these practical needs, yeah, I can't help but view them through the context of, I'm thinking this person that needs the emergency services, is there a power of attorney in place? Who's going to make those decisions? Is someone going to have to go to the courthouse and get a guardianship declared in the aftermath of this emergency? Will people be on hold in terms of addressing some needs because there's no one with authority and the person who is most affected is incompetent? Mm-hmm. So I can't help but view this through a lawyer's lens and the sort of issues that come up for people as they age. And while there are very practical and tangible needs, such as what Susan Schaefer has been talking about, the issues relating to maintaining your housing, how do you get food, how do you maintain those emotional bonds, all those things are critical. But just as critical, and in many ways the foundation of those needs, relate to assuring that the legal resources that you have in place are there. Those are the means that allow a doorway for many of these services that we're talking about to allow people to come in and deliver those things. In the absence of that doorway, then we're having to wait on a judge to bring a gavel down, and then even worse, you know, for the court and their representatives to be making decisions that which are rarely the ones that you yourself would have chosen. So I just wanted to close with an emphasis on the importance of the estate planning piece, of final piece relating to long-term care, which includes not simply paying for long-term care, but also being able to assure that those people who will make those decisions about end of life, those decisions that if you're in a institute such as is now popular, the largest, fastest growing sector of long-term care is memory care. Mm-hmm. Many of you listening know there are memory care institutes coming up around us, and that's because of this phenomenon where, in fact, there are a lot of people who, though they're incompetent, they might be able to enjoy life. They're able to walk around. In many ways, they're functional, but they're just not competent in the legal sense of the word. So the question becomes, how do we know that the things that they value and the priorities that they have are taking place if they can't themselves often communicate those as well as they could? Well, there are devices which, through your elder lawyer, Cordell Planning Partners specifically, you can have a personal care plan developed and incorporated with your long-term health care directive. And together, these two work in synergy because one provides specifically for those end-of-life scenarios, those things we're all familiar with, but the other allows for the possibility that there may be a substantial period of time when you will be able to enjoy life, but you will not be able to communicate as effectively some of the most important things that you can now. Seize this opportunity, create a plan, and create the set of documents that will assure your safety and protection for the balance of your life here, as well as thereafter. I think that's an appropriate way to conclude, Susan. Do you agree?
I agree. We've got to take care of the things that we need to take care of, whether they're emotional, physical, or legal.
Yes, taking care of business. So anyway, this has been Joe Cordell and another episode of Elder Talk. We look forward to you joining us next week. Till then, take care.
You've been listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors with attorney CPA Joe Cordell. Listen again next Saturday for another edition of Elder Talk, sponsored by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. For more information, visit eldercarelaw.com. That's eldercarelaw.com. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.